Great prayer there from Psalm 25, and we're actually going to seek God's guidance and his leading as we turn to the scriptures. We're going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer, maybe one of the most famous prayers. We've been looking in recent weeks at powerful one-sentence prayers, and the Lord's Prayer contains a number of just very specific requests that Jesus taught us to pray. And we were seeing last week about that request at the end of Matthew 6:13, and lead us not into temptation. And today we're just going to be looking at this very simple phrase, but deliver us from the evil one. So I wonder if you've got your Bibles, if you can turn to Matthew 6 verse 13 and just have that there in front of you. And maybe if you don't have a Bible, just raise a hand. The stewards will come and just bring one to you. It's going to help you to have one in front of you. And if you see someone next to you without a Bible, do share one with them as well. So here's just some Bibles coming around. Matthew 6, verse 13. I'm just going to read the Lord's Prayer so we get it in its context. And then we'll turn to Psalm 107 as well to see a picture of someone calling out to God in prayer. Matthew 6, starting at verse 9. This then, Jesus said, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then keeping a finger in Matthew 6, do turn to Psalm 107, that's page 611. And here we have a number of pictures in Psalm 107 of people who cried out to God in various situations. And we're going to pick it up in Psalm 107, verse 23. We're by the sea here, so we often see ships and see the sea varying in character, and this is that kind of picture. Psalm 107 verse 23. Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wit's end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. So, Lord, I ask for your help for me and for each one of us as we seek to understand your word right now. Come, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever been in a storm? Storm at sea, a storm maybe in life. I remember once being on a ferry coming back from France. It was actually just last year. And I'd not really been on ferries much. And the way out to France was just wonderful, delightful, sun shining. The way back on this catamaran. And it was so choppy and seriously stormy that we discovered that the ferry after us, the catamaran after us, had got cancelled. And the one we were on was like a kind of a warp kind of crazy zone in the ship. There were things falling off the shelves. There were kind of kids being sick everywhere. And we got kids, so that was not nice. Even parents, I was struggling. If you had to stand up, you were struggling to stand up. People were passing out sick bags. I kid you not, I've never been so thankful to be back on solid ground as at the end of that ferry. And it made me really appreciate that when people are in a huge storm at sea, maybe even when a ship has capsized and been overwhelmed, what an amazing feeling it must be to be rescued, to be delivered. And that's the picture in Psalm 107. And in the passage in Matthew 6 where Jesus teaches us how to pray, he's teaching us to call out to him just like they did in Psalm 107 for deliverance. Because it's not just the storms that happen in sea. All of us know that there are storms that can rage in our own lives. And that's what I want us to focus on this morning is just this first question that we kind of need to ask if we're to pray this prayer. And that's, why do we need deliverance? Why do we need delivering? Is it just when we're in a sort of stormy situation, or is it when there's sort of things that are going wrong in our lives? When do we need to pray this prayer? Why do we need delivering? And I think what we would all testify is that there are struggles that we face in life, things that seem to overwhelm us or be too difficult for us. You know, God created the world good. He made a wonderful world, but something has gone wrong. Life is a struggle, if you're a Christian or if you're not a Christian. Life is, in fact, sometimes a even tougher struggle after people become Christians. That's one of the reasons we ask that question. Will you hold fast to Jesus, whatever difficulties come your way, even persecution? So why is that? Why is life such a struggle? Well, I think the first thing I want us to see is because there's a battle. There's a battle. And we've probably all experienced a battle with the printer, but I'm not talking about that kind of battle. And maybe if it battled with the winds or the elements, as even they were doing in the storm. But I want to sort of pull it out a bit more and say there's another bigger battle going on. It's the battle of good versus evil. It's a battle actually that's depicted in many films and stories like The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. And even as we watch it, something resonates in us that says, even though that's a kind of different world and a different circumstance, it's sort of that we can relate to that. Because we see in our world, we see good. And we also see evil, don't we? We only have to pick up the paper and turn over a few pages, maybe even just on the front page. And there's evil going on around. In fact, this astronaut, Chris Hadfield, has been tweeting from space, from the space station. And he was looking down at the beautiful planet, and he tweeted this: "It's hard to reconcile the inherent beauty of the world with the hatred and horrible things that people do to one another." You see, we see the beautiful world, we see the stuff that's good, but we also see this evil, and it's got to make us ask this question, well, where does it come from? Why is there so much evil in the world? Have you ever wondered that? What's gone wrong? Well, this battle is ultimately a battle like all battles between two kings or two kingdoms. The Bible is quite plain that God is Lord over all. God is good. There is no darkness, no evil, no trace of wickedness in him. But the Bible is also quite clear that there is an evil one. In fact, this is what Jesus is referring to here in this passage. And so not just is there a battle, but there is an evil one. That's why we need delivering. And the evil one is quite plainly described in the Bible in numerous places, Old Testament and New Testament. In Christian tradition, there is also a very clear tradition that teaches that there is an evil one, or Satan, the devil, the accuser, the father of lies. He has a number of different names, and we don't often in church actually spend a lot of time talking about him. We focus on God and the Lord Jesus Christ and all he's done. But the Bible is very plain that there is an evil one. There is one who is leading people away from God and deceiving us. In fact, we've heard in a number of these testimonies, stories where people have been led astray, led into all kinds of things. So not just is the Bible there reminding us that there's a battle and there's an evil one, actually our own experience points to that as well. This is Nicky Gumbel, the guy who wrote the Alpha Course, which again I said we're starting here just tomorrow. But he says this about evil. He says, "Common sense confirms the existence of the evil one, a devil. Any kind of theology which ignores the existence of a personal devil has a great deal to explain. Evil regimes, institutional torture and violence, mass murders, brutal rapes, large-scale drug trafficking, terrorist atrocities, sexual and physical abuse of children, occult activity, and satanic rituals Who is behind all this? So scripture, tradition, and reason all point to the existence of the devil. And this does not mean that we should become obsessed by him. As C.S. Lewis points out, there are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors and hail a materialist or a magician with the same delight. So we're not to become obsessed. We're not to think that this enemy is so powerful that we have no chance to escape. That's not going to help us in a battle. But neither are we to dismiss our enemy as non-existent. We'll never overcome the battle if we do. So there is an evil one. And I want to just ground it like this. One of the chief things he does is lie to you and lie to me. He's a deceiver. He lies to us so that our minds become full of irrational fears. He lies to us so that we feel when we have a burden of guilt that we'll never, ever be able to get rid of it. He lies to us so that our lives can sometimes be full of self-loathing. So that things that actually we even see making a mess of other people, we even have seen that in our own lives, he lies to us again and says, oh, that drug or that pornography that you think is going to make you happy, actually, he lies to us and it just leads us into slavery. He lies to us and says, money will make you happy. Love money, pursue it. And he causes us to forget the words of Jesus that says the love of money is the root of all evil. The enemy lies to us, says, doesn't matter if you're angry, just let it grow in you or let it work itself out of you. When the Lord says in his word, do not let the sun go down on your anger and do not give the devil a foothold. Is the devil trying to get a foothold in your life today? The moment? Have he actually deceived you so much so that you're not even aware of how he's trying to ensnare you? Or maybe you are aware of it and you're so unaware of it you think there's no hope. Well, I want to say tonight, this afternoon, this morning even, let me get it right. There is hope. There is hope because there is the possibility of deliverance. That is why Jesus teaches us to pray this prayer. So why do we need delivering? Because we're in a battle and there is an evil one and he is looking to destroy our faith. In fact, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. But here's the wonderful thing. We can experience deliverance. We can experience deliverance. We've seen testimony after testimony this morning of people who've experienced God's help and deliverance. So how are we delivered? How are we delivered? Well, the deliverance is found in the power that God has to defeat our enemy. And this power is probably most clearly displayed in the cross of Christ, the place where God comes to earth and takes upon himself the punishment that you and I deserve. But he doesn't just deal with the penalty of the wrong things we've done. He doesn't just come and say, right, David, you've done all these wrong things, I'll take the penalty. He comes and deals with the power of sin that has ensnared and entangled my life and the lives of others. This is the power of the cross. In fact, the Apostle John writes this in 1 John 3 verse 8 and says this, the reason the Son of God, that's Jesus, appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Jesus comes and wonderfully destroys what the enemy has done. So if the enemy is doing something in your life, if the evil one's got a hold or a foothold, Jesus can come and destroy that. He has the victory. That's what we've been singing. How marvelous, how wonderful to know of this Savior. So there is hope. He has power to destroy sin. I've found this illustration so helpful over the years to see how the power of the cross is at work. I've used it a number of times. In fact, many of those who will have shared testimony will have maybe seen something like this, which just illustrates the power of the cross. It shows how our lives are here and that God made us for unity with him, that there should be a sense of easy connection with us and God. And yet what happens is that the evil and the sin in our lives, and it comes in and brings a separation between us and God. And the line of evil isn't that there's kind of evil, evil regimes and empires, and you can draw a geographical line. Actually, there's a line of good and evil in each one of our hearts. And sin is when we choose to go the way of evil. We choose to rebel against God, to say, God, I'm going to go my own way. And this separation comes between us and God. And the enemy is delighted. The evil one's delighted because he knows that if we're kept away from God, we're kept away from the source of life. But what happens is that though we try in our own strength to bridge this gap of sin and death and the work of the enemy, yet we can't. We keep failing. And even some of the testimonies describe the sort of ongoing battle of struggling to overcome in their own strength. But what's amazing is that God works from his side, and he brings a wonderful salvation, a bridge that covers sin and death, and that's the cross. And the cross comes and bridges that gap between me and God, destroying Satan's work so that you and I can now go and be at one with God. We can be restored, delivered, set free. This is like the rescue coming into our lives. And how do we take hold of that? How do we step onto the cross? How do we receive that work that God has done for us? Well, this is what Jesus calls us to. He calls us to pray and ask for deliverance. This is what Psalm 107 wonderfully illustrates. Turn again with me to Psalm 107. And it says this, time and time again, in fact, in the Psalm, verse 28, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper, the waves of the sea to a hush. And they were glad when it grew calm. I bet they were. You might be battling with something in your life, struggling with something that you need delivering from. Tell you what, if you experience his deliverance, if you experience that calm in your life, you'll be glad. I kid you not, you will be so glad. That will be my own experience as well. It's a wonderful thing to see as we call out to God that God is able to come and rescue us. So not just the power of the cross do I want us to see, but the power of prayer, the power that is possible as we cry out to God and experience him coming out and saving us. And not just do we cry out to him for him to deliver us, Jesus himself is praying for us. How wonderful is that? Today, Jesus is praying for you and I. We have in the scriptures, time and time again, places where it teaches us that. In fact, in John 17, which is one of Jesus' prayers, he prays this. We have it on the screen here. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had before the world began. And he goes on to say in that prayer, I think that was a slightly different one. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one, is what he goes on to pray. And so Jesus there is praying for our protection and our deliverance from the evil one. And then in Hebrews 7, verse 25, it says this, therefore he's able to save completely, this Jesus, those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Jesus died, rose again, conquering sin and death and the evil, making a public spectacle of them on the cross. And now he always lives praying and interceding for us. I want to, as I end, remind you of two scenes in the Gospels. As Jesus was doing and walking on the earth, he did amazing things. And Mark tells us in his gospel at the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5 of these two scenes, which I think he deliberately holds together. One is where this man who's been possessed by a demon is just all over the place, raging, and no one can control him. No one knows what to do. And Jesus, with a word, calms him, frees him, delivers him of the evil. And there he is, dressed and in his right mind before Jesus. And just before that, he's described a time when the disciples were on a boat and the seas were raging so much that the disciples were fearing, even fishermen though they were, fearing for their very lives, that they'd be overwhelmed. And they cried out to Jesus. And Jesus again stood up, and with a word, the sea became calm. I don't know what's raging in your life at the moment. I don't know what plan the evil one has to try and destroy your faith, though I know he'll be trying. But I do know this above all else, that there is a deliverer. That Jesus Christ loves you and I so much that he, at great cost to himself, has come and died for us to set us free, inviting us to call out to him, to ask for his deliverance, to, as it were, step onto that bridge that we might be made right with God again, at peace with him. When I'm sharing this with people, I've sometimes just used this simple illustration and said that I've discovered over time really that people fall into one of three groups. There are some people who, when they hear this story, they're kind of over here and they really don't want anything to do with it. They're actually, they're what the Bible describes sometimes as those who've kind of, they've been consumed by evil. They just don't want anything to do with God. They're continuing to run. And then there are others who are, so this guy's kind of moving that way. There are others who are kind of seeing this. You've heard something of the good news of Jesus, the rescue that he can bring. And they're there and they're seeing all this, but they feel still a distance from God. And yet they want to move that way. They're still in the struggle. They're still in the storm. They're still feeling that they need deliverance and they need God's help. But they want it. They want help. And then there are others, and they know a peace with God. They know that though there's still struggles, still battles, yet they're holding fast to Jesus. And they know what it is to have God with them. And I sometimes just ask people, where would you say you are? I want to ask you this morning, where would you say you are? We're all here in church. Great, welcome, thank you for coming. But where are you with God? You trying to move away from him? Do you feel a distance from him? But actually you do see all this and it makes sense and you want to be close to him. Or do you feel at peace with him? And I want to just talk in this moment to this group here. One of the things that the disciples did when the storm was calmed, they said, who is this man? Who is this Jesus? Maybe you've got questions about Jesus. And if you do, Alpha is a great thing to do. Like I said, tomorrow evening. In fact, the subject we're looking at tomorrow evening is, who is Jesus? Do come along. It's 7:45 in the hall. There's meal provided. And you can just turn up. Johnny, in fact, give us a wave. He's the man to see after the service. He'll be on the door. But you know, sometimes you don't need to journey anymore. You actually just need to cry out for help. You kind of get it. You get your need. You see that Jesus is the Savior. And what you need is just to, as many here have done, say, Jesus, help me. And this is a prayer that I'm going to invite you to pray in this moment. Just says, God, I recognize my need. I'm in a battle. I need your deliverance. Help me by the power of the cross of Christ. Fill me with your spirit and help me live according to your word. Thank you that you have all power and authority and that you can deliver me from the evil one. Thank you that you hear me when I pray. Amen. So I'm just going to get us all to bow our heads. And with that up on the screen, just in this moment, in the quietness of your heart, if you were there on that side of the cross thinking, yeah, I want to be close to God and not. Maybe you're here with a friend who's already had an experience like that. Then I invite you now to just echo these words in your heart as a prayer, a cry out to God. Just repeat with me. God, I recognize my need. I'm in a battle. I need your deliverance. Help me by the power of the cross of Christ. You can echo these words in your heart. Help me by the power of the cross of Christ. Fill me with your spirit. And help me live according to your word. Thank you that you have all power and authority and that you can deliver me from the evil one. Thank you that you hear me when I pray. Just before, just close and all the heads come up, if you prayed that prayer with me today and you echoed that in your heart, I would love to celebrate with you that God has come and got a hold of you. So will you just lift up your head and give me a wave and catch my eye so that I know that you prayed that? Thank you so much. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you at the back there. Just, thank you. God, you see these folks who just today needed to cry out to you. Some for the first time, maybe some have been caught up in something. God, thank you that you hear them and deliver them. And Lord, there's something I feel we need to own a bit corporately. We've been seeing, Lord, that this prayer is so often a prayer that's not just an individual prayer. You say, deliver us from the evil one. And Lord, maybe there's something in our families. We just sense the enemy at work in our families. Maybe there's something, Lord, we're aware of in our church or even in our nation, Lord. And there's a sense we just want to pray this prayer, deliver us from the evil one. And we've got the same prayer, but it's just now we. And I wonder if you are aware of something in your family or in the church even or in the nation, you just think, God, I just want to pray this prayer for deliverance today. Will you just raise your hand right now and we're going to pray this together. So those just who are aware of something in your life right now or in the family's life or something, you're just aware of there's a need, God. The enemy's at work. Just come and help us, Lord. Then we're going to say this out loud, folks. God, we recognize our need. God, we recognize our need. We are in a battle. We need your deliverance. Help us by the power of the cross of Christ. Fill us with your Spirit and help us live according to your word. Thank you that you have all power and authority. And that you can deliver us from the evil one. Thank you that you hear us when we pray.